Welcome to Overtime Inferno, your weekly roundup of all the big stories in CSGO. Quicker than FaZe can beat Na'Vi. Quick reminder, rate and review us at the end of the episode. It super helps us. I'm Logan. Today, I have a small panel with me, as is now our major tradition. I have normal person AZSK here with me. I also have Naps, who is here after the last major.
Pronounce his first name. Do it.
Go ahead.
Gills.
Heist.
Close enough.
How is that close enough at all?
I'm used to it. I am used to it.
I thought I'd drop you on right on the spot just as soon as we went live. Just like, pronounce his name. I dare you.
I wasn't at the meetup, so obviously I couldn't find out the correct pronunciation.
Yeah, to be fair, we didn't really talk about it at the meetup.
Yeah, we waited until we were drunk.
I waited like 30 minutes for my drink, but okay.
All right, so the reason I have these two folks with me is because there was a small tournament that happened this last weekend. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's called the Major. Theoretically, it's Counter-Strike's biggest event of the year. Theoretically. And these two
We all know it's actually the DreamHack Masters Stockholm.
No, it's IEM Sydney.
IEM Sydney.
Where else do you have people
it's
yelling,
actually the Aussie, 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 oi, oi, oi.
So, do you know We Play Academy League?
I mean, it's where all the best players seem to come from. I mean, like, Monacy and Bit both came from there.
And, like, you know, Torshi as well. Mouse NXT.
Yeah, I think they're just the best players in the world.
Can't right, I think we're getting two on the nose now. all right, so this weekend we had the Major. I think that the finals of the Major, which was FaZe Na'Vi, was the finals that if you told me 3 months ago we're having a Major right now, what's the finals, that's probably the answer I would have told you.
Yeah,
so it's good to see that.
Yeah, pretty much. I wasn't convinced Na'Vi were gonna make it, I'll be honest.
I wasn't convinced FaZe were gonna make it,
really. I thought it's so weird to me though, where people being like, oh yeah, there's no clear favorite for this Major, like, oh, if it goes to FaZe Na'Vi, like, also they say like Na'Vi would be 60-40 favorite against FaZe. I'm like, has everyone just forgotten the last 3 months? Like, FaZe have won, like, the last two big tournaments comfortably.
Yeah, but it's still FaZe.
One of them with a stand-in.
To be fair, it is still FaZe. Like, yeah, that's like saying Liquid's going to win something.
There was going to be some point somewhere where Carrigan was just going to find his curse again and just lose to a team, like, randomly.
Okay.
That was what I was thinking.
So Carrigan curse wise, I did really, I was, so first map of the series in the finals was Inferno.
Yep.
And then it went to overtime.
He broke his curse, and to be fair.
Carrigan broke the curse, but there was definitely a moment or two there where I was, you were a little scared if you were a FaZe fan of.
What I'll say is that map though, it felt to me watching it the whole way through, FaZe with the better team. Like, it seemed like every time they had the right read, they had the right play. But, like, Na'Vi were just winning rounds that you can't win. Like, Bit was hitting, it was winning duels that you can't win. Like, impossible duels, you would just win them. They get in the bomb site, like, 2v3, and then they just win the post plant. Like, these weren't rounds that, they weren't, like, six rounds back-to-back that they shouldn't have won. It was ludicrous. Like, if Na'Vi had won that first map, it would have been a complete fucking robbery. They had no chance of winning most of those rounds, and they still won them. I mean, that is the power of Na'Vi, right? Like, they just win rounds they can't.
It felt like that on map two as well.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah, but map two was comfortable.
Yeah. It was also, like, because of Nuke City side, you know? So it kind of, like, makes it feel more one-sided than it is.
I don't think Nuke's that CT-sided, though. I think
it felt CT-sided in a final.
It looks it when FaZe play CT-side, yes, because they have Rops, Brocky, Twist, and then Rain, who just randomly turned into a good player. Like,
the MVP of the tournament.
Yeah.
The finals MVP. Like, Rain had a performance unlike one we've seen from him in a very long time.
Yeah.
Of course it looks... It's FaZe-sided. It's whatever side of the map FaZe are on. They'll be fine. They've just got, like, I mean, Rops coming into the event, I think was like the best rated nuke player in the world or something. Like, he's incredible in the map.
Yeah.
He's just like, his positioning, his understanding of rotations is just absolutely flawless. Because if you watch Na'Vi play nuke against any other team, their rotations, like their position, like the way they manipulate 4v5s, when they lose a man, they don't seem to lose any space. It's mad. Like they play 4v5s and it doesn't feel like they're 4v5. But against FaZe, like they would lose a pick and they just capitulate because FaZe understood the map as well as they did, and they actually understood how to abuse that. Where other teams don't seem to understand the map as well as those two do.
Yeah,
FaZe are just the best team in the world, and it's not particularly close at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. But I also think one of the biggest, not winning conditions for FaZe, but rather losing conditions for Na'Vi was that Simple just didn't show up at all.
Yeah,
especially in the final. I felt like he was shaky in the entire playoffs. He got like a 1.20 rating, I think, across the entire tournament, which, you know, if you're telling me that 1.20 is a bad rating for Simple,
he had a horrible tournament. He only dropped like 58 kills in the semi final.
No, but still, like,
for the whole thing, I know I'm not even disagreeing. I'm not even taking it. Like, that's literally a bad tournament for him.
Yeah, and then you look at like the stats in the final. He was second to last, 0.89 rating, just above Boomage. Like,
I believe, I think Vu said it's his worst best of three rating since the Face It Major Grand Final against Astralis.
Damn. Jeez.
So it was completely out of line with what we've come to expect from him.
Yeah.
Supposedly, I think Yekindar said, I heard that Yekindar said on, I think it was the HRTV Confirmed podcast, obviously I don't listen to any other podcasts.
why would you?
Yeah.
Supposedly, Simple only had 30 hours in the past 2 weeks coming into the Major. Which, when you compare it to like the Spirit guys who had like 150 or something.
Yeah, 200, I think, even. Yeah, but
yeah.
Like, that's the thing about Simple, right? He could have played 30 hours ahead of the Major and still gotten like insane ratings in the final and just won it because he's just that talented. But I feel like in this tournament, there was something mentally holding him back from performing like he were used from him, like performance-wise. Maybe it's because of the rumors about Electronic possibly moving away, but something made it feel like at least the more experienced core of the team wasn't feeling it.
I mean, of course, right? They've got like Ukraine's at war. You know what I mean? Like, of course, yeah. There's something.
There's a million like, other
there's
things.
There's so much going on. I'm pretty sure that roster's last tournament together. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but like it seems that way. Like Electronic probably on his way, maybe to either Perfect or Boomich as well. I don't know.
All right, I would like to give out some awards for the Major, because we're obviously past award season, so of course it's where we give awards. I want to give an award to the most overperforming team of the Major. So a team that we actually overperforming is a really bad way.
Team Liquid?
A team that performed way above their belt, punched way higher than we thought they were going to coming into the tournament, that did way better than we expected them to.
I mean, the obvious answer is Spirit, but I think I'd like to give a shout out to Imperial.
Okay.
They were very close to Imperial were very close to the playoffs of a Major. This is a team when it was formed, like, when you look at Team Spirit, there are pieces to that team that are, we know Dexter's really good. Patsy looked like a pretty solid player on Espada. Chopper's been to big events before and done well. Like, there are pieces to this team that you know are pretty good.
Yeah.
That Imperial team,
we thought
pretty much everyone. Yeah, pretty much everyone just went, they're just farming views. Like, there's nothing about this team. There's nothing. They're not going to do anything. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, Vinny's the only redeemable person on that team right now. Like,
they were one series from major playoffs. Like, that's incredible. Like, see what you want about it. And also one of their losses in the legend stage was the Monacy smoke glitch.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. If Monacy doesn't use it, like maybe that game goes to that. Maybe that we'd be talking about Imperial playing in the major playoffs.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I don't know if it came through on stream, but the Brazilian fans when Fury were playing.
Oh my God.
Deafening, man. They were that was so hype.
Insane.
If Imperial had got there, it would have been incredible. The noise in that arena would have been amazing. Like,
I legitimately, like mid-game, kind of like automatically switched to supporting Furia for like no reason. Just because for it was just really nice to like cheer with the Brazilians, because why not, you know?
Yeah, it was... I think I actually will go most overperforming was Imperial. And I just wish they'd gone that extra one step.
Yeah. Naps, you have a vote?
Well, I'd say the obvious answer is Spirit. But I think that if you're looking beyond like the playoff bias, which is just looking at teams that didn't make it to playoffs, I would say Imperial as well.
Okay. My answer was going to be Spirit. So I'm very happy that we have two answers here. Spirit for the same reasons that everyone else said that I don't think anyone expected this team to get to the semifinals, even though this team has good pieces. Mir is sitting on their bench right now, right? Like,
yeah,
we don't expect this team. I personally did not expect this team to get into the challenger stage, much less be a semifinalist at the major. Like, that's huge, right? Yeah. Most underperforming award.
I think it has to go to Cloud9. I don't think we can go to anyone else.
Agreed. Astralis.
But the thing is, Astralis were like the 10th best team in the world who don't make it to the 16th. Cloud9 were the like third or fourth.
And
like went out 1-3.
Okay, but you and I have talked about this a million times, right? That the form X Gambit, now Cloud9 team, right? Very good in group stages generally, and then once they get to a playoff stage, they fizzle out.
They didn't even get to the playoff stage.
They just didn't get far. I don't know where my statement was going, because it was going to make a point, but I don't know where it is anymore.
I think they underperformed more than Astralis, just because my expectations for them were higher. Like, people had them as like a potential like winner.
Yeah.
And they went at 1-3 in the legendary. They lost a 1-2 game to Imperial. As much as we just talked about Imperial, like, you can't be losing this game. Like, it's unimaginable to lose a best of three to this team as one of the best teams in the world. Like, it just shouldn't happen.
I think G2 is a good shout as well.
G2 is a good shout.
G2 is a good shout, because
Cloud9 more than G2, because we kind of half expected G2 not to, like, do anything crazy because of Alexi B.
Yeah,
I think.
You know? It's so weird how quick the pendulum has swung on him. Like, I got a tweet the other day saying, like, oh, like, Alexi B is not overrated. Nobody rates him. It's like, when did this happen? Because a few months ago, I was like one of the only, like, I was like derided for thinking he was overrated. Like, before he went to G2, his stock was somewhere up here. Like, you can't even see it. That's how high it was. You can't even see it on my camera. His stock was up here somewhere. Like, now all of a sudden, oh yeah, no, everyone thinks he's rubbish. What? When did that happen?
To be fair, I thought he was rubbish when he was on OG as well. So suddenly switching my opinion, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's so weird that's suddenly become like, oh yeah, no, he's just bad and everyone knows it. Like,
yeah, we talked about it in a newsletter as well, I think, with our article on like that this was his last chance to like prove he was actually a decent IGL and wasn't just surrounded by some Finnish magic from the, you know, Finnish force or something when he was on ends. I don't know. It's crazy to think that he's surrounded by like the best talents in the world and Jax.
Yeah.
And that, although to be fair, no, okay, I'm hating on Jax now, but Jax is actually one of the players I like the most on that roster.
I like Jax.
So an interesting Jax thing,
problem.
Interesting thing about that roster, right, to me, is that we went through, after the last major, we went through all the changes, right? So G2 now has Monacy, they now have Lexi B, right? G2 went through a bunch of changes. They were the major finalists in the last major, right? They theoretically only should have gotten better, and they didn't make playoffs. Like, that's huge to me.
Yeah.
Like, like Navi, right? They didn't make a single change. They ended up in the exact same place, roughly, that they were in the last major, right? They won the last major. They were just a finalist in this major, but they ended up in the same place. Is that G2 made all of these changes and said, nah, we're just going to be worse.
Yeah, I think, well, the thing with them is, so they've spent so much money building this roster. The games they won were a best of one against Imperial where they had to use a smoke glitch. And the best
game will forever be tainted.
And the best of three against Outsiders, who straight, immediately as the major final finished, benched, like two of their players were benched. Like, yeah. That team
and also came into the tournament like
they were already like
destroyed morale because of the entire Virtus Pro issue.
Yeah, because I don't even think they like each other anymore. Like,
not really.
That's the sort of vibe you get from them, though. They don't really like. You know, Yukindar's been doing PR for months, like appearing on anything he can, just like. Like being on the desk, being on the HSTV Confirmed podcast, just like he would do anything, just put his name out there.
Why don't we invite Yukindar on here if he's doing all the social, all the PR he can? He'll just what a great audience.
Great. So I don't know if you saw the Overdrive tweet about Yukindar. We'll get to this later. But interestingly, one of the teams he was linked with was G2, because one of the points I was going to make about G2 is the issue they have is that it's really hard for them to change any players because two of them have just signed new contracts. One of them's a 16-year-old they spent $500,000 on. Yep. One of them is an in-game leader they just signed. And the other is like their like veteran player who's been there for ages. If they sign Yukindar, who are they replacing? Because it isn't Nico or Hunter, and it's not going to be Monosy. If it's Jax...
They're screwing it
up. Okay, so if it's Jax, it's going to be the same problem as we've seen before when Mousesports' old lineup benched Stiko, which is... I feel like Jax has more impact on that roster outside of the server than he has inside of the server. And he does like all the shit nobody wants to do. Yeah,
I think he has plenty of impact
inside. Both mentally and like in-game picking up like stuff that the other players don't want to do or doing all the dirty work. It's a mistake that G2 shouldn't make. So just... Don't buy Yukindar.
So my next question is it minus Alexi B and Nico in-game leads?
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
That's probably what they're going to do. I hate that.
It's terrible.
It's so funny.
They should not do it.
It'd be so funny. Because when they signed him, they kept making these jokes about, oh yeah, Nico's going to in-game lead. Oh. If they fucking make him in-game lead, it's going to be so funny. Yeah. Because they kept joking, like, oh, yeah, oh, Nico's going to take over in-game leading, oh. And I think, he actually might. They might just kick Alexi B and let Nico in-game lead.
It would probably be an improvement.
But, like, either way, this is, like, the only team in the world where you're signing Yukindar doesn't make any sense.
Like, I guess, yeah.
No,
like, are you going to make him do Jax rolls? Like...
I would say signing Yukindar to Furiat also would not make sense.
Yeah, but that's just kicking down open doors, Logan.
I'm looking at the list, man. That wouldn't make any sense because you have Art, but not the point.
Yeah, that's just so bizarre to me. Like, it's so difficult. It's like their problems are pretty deep seated because they've like there's a bit of a sunk cost fallacy with this team. Like, you've put so much money into building it. Like, how do you take out any of the pieces? It's really hard.
I mean, you shouldn't.
They're just going to keep underperforming.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's the problem.
Maybe they really believe they can turn it around with the power of friendship and believing in the heart of the cards.
I mean, even if I've been like shitting on LXCB for the past 5 minutes, I think their best course of action right now would be to just, you know, see if this Alexi B thing really doesn't work out and just go looking for another IGL. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of shakeups post-major, maybe even post-Dallas. There's going to be an IGL somewhere and they just snatch that. They have the money to snatch any IGL they want on the scene.
MSL right would have got them out of groups.
Oh, okay, fair. Sure, whatever. But MSL...
They probably would have been capped at like 8th.
But MSL can't.
It's better than what they got already.
MSL can't go to G2 because he has to go to Mousesports.
Oh, so now, so you want MSL? There we go.
I wouldn't mind.
You're like, you're talking about MSL point, again, and that 3 seconds later, I actually want MSL. No,
but at this point, I would take anything over Dexter.
Ooh, yeah.
Would you take Azure over Dexter?
probably. I actually saw a tweet, his tweet yesterday that he was like, "I'm willing to, you know, compete again."
Yeah, he's coming back.
Yeah. I don't know, you know, that's the thing, right? It's the region, I think, that's keeping these IGLs back. It's just so underdeveloped and such a different, like, environment compared to the EU scene and the NA scene, even though that's in shambles as well. But still, it's like... But also, how has Mousesports gone on so long with, like, this experiment and never realized that there's not a problem with anyone on a team except for the IGLing?
This is obviously quite off topic, but I do not understand why they don't just call up Suhi. Like, I just don't understand. You've called up the coach. You've called up three players from the NXT team.
Two and a half.
Yeah. Because Xertion is, like... kind of sometimes sending in, and then JDC as well. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. So you've called up players. You've called up the coach, and you've got this like IGL who's clearly underperforming. Why do you not just call up the IGL who had the?
I think it's because Shuey is like he only started IGLing when he joined NXT, so I think they might want to develop him a little longer, which I get. But like, still, get another IGL then.
You might as well develop him at the top level because it's not like Dex just do you know what I mean? Like, you don't lose anything by trying him there. If it doesn't work, you can send him back to NXT and develop him further and go, look, you know, in 6 months' time, you might be ready. Like, maybe you don't lose anything. It's so bizarre to me. Anyway, that's about the major.
Okay.
Close the mouse tangent now.
I have at least one more award, and then you guys, if you have awards in mind, you can add them. The next award I have is the exactly as we expected award.
I was going to say the most whelmed. The most whelming team.
Okay. I like the most whelmed award. I think that's a better name.
It's always... It doesn't even seem to matter where they finish, but it's always NIP.
Yeah.
Yeah, I give it to NIP. Yep. No.
A plucky loss in the quarterfinals. Fair enough. It's exactly what I expected.
No. Heroic. Good group stage. Terrible playoffs.
They took a map off Na'Vi. I mean, they weren't terrible.
But this is the heroic Na'Vi story. This happens every time.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. This is the script.
Yeah, true. I mean, big going 3-0 and then... losing a legend stage, like
that's kind of on brand.
CS for you.
And giving, I gave them 0-3 and they went 0-3. Team Liquid, because that's exactly what I expected them to do.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
and to some extent, FaZe as well. I expected FaZe to win the event, and they did.
I guess.
All right, I would say
I agree with NIP most. NIP and Heroic, I guess.
I have one more award, I actually realize.
Go on then.
Go ahead.
All right. Your MVP of the event that was not on the major winning team. A non-phase player that was your best player in the event.
Oh, I say best player. So I was going to go really left field and say Machine. I thought Machine's casting for both the grand final and the quarterfinal he did was absolutely phenomenal.
Yo, I'm okay giving Machine the MVP of the event.
So good. Like, I'm not always Machine's biggest fan as a caster. I thought his casting at this event was so good.
Yeah.
Really good. And I say I wanted either Scrawny and Launders or Harry and Hugo to get the grand final. I make no bones about that. But Machine was... and Sponge, obviously, but like Machine is the play-by-play, flawless, really good. And I think he helped really drive the hype up in and out of the arena.
Yeah, definitely. I guess as a player, I would probably pick Bit or no, actually, Spinks. I think Spinks really deserved it because he showed that the only thing holding him back is where he comes from, with like the visa issues and stuff like that. I mean, he's not playing Dallas, so that's unfortunate. And he really showed that he can play on like the top level, but just, you know, Ents maybe just didn't have like the top tier quality or the top tier nerve resistance to get to like a final. They were looking really good.
They were.
Let's give a shout out to Chopper for the best.
I was going
to
say that was my player. My player was actually Chopper because Chopper was a beast this event.
And he had no coach, so he was basically doing the coach's job and in-game leading job. And I think you could tell because mechanically he didn't look as good as he can do, except in the semi-final where he was actually like the best player.
Stopped calling, you know. Started focusing on like popping heads.
But Team Spirit's flashbangs, I don't know if you know, like whenever you watch Team Spirit, the enemy AWP has the most miserable time I've ever seen. But so you know the final round of Mirage against FaZe where Rops wins the 1v2.
Yeah.
Go and watch, I think it's either Brokey or Twist in CT. Go and watch their perspective. Because he's holding a pixel wide angle, gets full whited, takes a deeper angle, gets full flashed again. Drops down, like, tries to go back whilst flash, gets full blinded a third time, and then gets Tech 9 the length of the bombsite. Nothing he could do.
I feel like that's my average playing experience against, like, a Danish 5-stack, but...
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, it's literally, bang, 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 and then he just gets Tech 9 dinked the length of, like, from Firebox to CT.
Yeah.
There's nothing he could do.
Seems fair.
Their flashbangs are so good. Yeah, Chopper as a player, Machine as another MVP. Yep.
Right, I think Chopper was mine as well.
I think I have one more award to give out.
We have one more award. What's your award?
Yeah, my award is best cherry shoof drinker. It goes to Elliot, I think.
So reference cherry shoof is a Belgian beer, and we found it. So I don't really like beer, but the first bar we went to, they had like this bottle of the shoof, and it's 8%.
Yes,
which is a lot,
and it tastes like really lemonade. Nice. It is like super sweet because it's cherry flavored. So you don't taste any beer at all. I made a mistake once of drinking only cherry shoofs on an evening, and I can tell you the next day was not amazing. But Elliot,
I did
there.
The same thing, but I wouldn't call it a mistake.
No. Elliot's just built different, I guess.
Built different. I think we could do maybe like a play of the event. I don't know if you have a specific play in mind, but for me, that Majix 1v4. On Dust 2 against FaZe was just crazy.
For me, it would be Karrigan ending the OT with a knife kill.
Yeah.
And basically breaking his curse from like 2018.
Nice.
It's a good shot.
I think James Banks asking Karrigan on the stage after about the curse. That was my play of the event.
Oh, and let's give a shout out to Brokey. James Banks like, yo, you're not a man of many words. Do you have anything for here? And he just like pauses and goes, we fucking made history, boys. So good. So good.
Definitely.
So I had to watch the major finals in a car from college home because that's just where I happened to be. And I got both headphones and I'm sitting in the front seat, mask on, because I got COVID the day before. So I'm sitting in the car, like full mask on, headphones in. And I just hear Brokey go, we fucking made history. And I just started laughing. My dad just looks over at me going, what the fuck are you doing? Just, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it was such a good interview. Like Brokey just seems, I don't know, mate, that guy just does not care. The amount of games... You're like, oh, I haven't seen Brokey do anything. And then you look up and he's top fracking. And I'm like, he really is the Olofmeister in the... is it just me or is Brokey such a boring player?
Yeah.
You look up and he just has 20 kills and you can't remember any of them. But then also, he had that like that 3K in down mid on Inferno where he like bunny hops, gets the bomb, AWPs the first guy, repeats, one tap, one tap. The Tech 9. Yeah. Disgusting. Yeah. I actually just sort of like stood up, put my hands behind my head and was just looking around like, what the fuck did I just see in the arena?
I was holding my head. I was like, what the fuck?
I could not believe it. It was so good. Ridiculous play.
All right. So that's going to be it for the main section of the podcast. But though, stay tuned, because if you're looking at a device, you can see there's probably another like 20 or so minutes on this podcast. That's because today we have Coy, former assistant coach of Mouse Sports, now Davenport University coach, and also Gucci Gaming Academy coach, joining us to talk about Gucci Gaming Academy. We're going to head over.
Can we just call it Gucci Gang Academy?
Please. All right, we're going to head over there now. We are back. Today we have Coy joining us, so current Davenport University Counter-Strike head coach, former Mouse Sports assistant coach, NAFPL mentor, Gucci Gaming Academy coach.
Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
Yeah.
I knew this was happening too. This is the worst
part. Yeah, I prepped you earlier.
So first question I have for you, Coy. Okay. How does it feel to have coached two major champions now?
I mean, it's pretty lit. I'm pretty happy. Life is good. I only worked with Rops, but I mean, it was cool. It was something special.
Did I not do my date math correct? I thought you were working with Kerrigan too.
Nope. I was right after Kerrigan. I was right after Kerrigan.
I did my date math wrong.
Yes. Damn. But Robin was with me. It was really funny because I've seen him grow a ton since being in FaZe's system, which is always nice to see. And then like, it's just so, but then I still see like the stuff that we talked about and the stuff that we did still in his play. And it's just so nice to like, feel like, hey, I was like slightly involved with this slightly.
Like 2%.
Less than 2%.
Okay. So we have some questions about the Gucci Gaming Academy.
Oh, everyone does.
Okay. Lovely.
That's good. That's why we're here.
That's why we're here right now. Could you please explain it to us? Let's start there.
Yes. Okay. So it's not like a traditional academy team or anything like that. It's more so designed to find those unknown talents like your Ropses or your Bemises in the past. Okay. That would come up through the pug systems or through like lower tier teams, but were really standout individuals, and then give them the resources and the coaching and the mentorship and the connections with higher tier pros, so that they can sort of like accelerate that process. Right. So we're not relying on someone like Nico just queuing FPL to find these people. We can kind of speed it up for them.
So obviously in the US, this is possibly less of an issue, but certainly in Europe we've seen people like Sphinx, where they've come up from Israel, and because of their location, or because, you know, there've been issues like with, maybe they can't get like quality software, so like, you know, maybe they can't get great hardware, stuff like that, or just because of their location, people underrate them slightly. Do you think this is gonna like help that sort of help that part? Because as I say, Rops from Estonia, like maybe if it wasn't for FPL wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, absolutely. So right now, like, we don't just set our eyes on FPL or anything like that, right? It's FPLC, some of even the lower tier hubs we also kind of look at. And, you know, through the partnerships that we have with like Logitech and Dell and like those guys, like we have the ability to sort of help them with those limitations, right? I can think of a couple players right now that we're currently working with where hardware is a limiting factor for them. And that's something that we're actively addressing. Which is important because, you know, when you are in a smaller, less fortunate community, like, who knows, like, what your peak actually is when you're limited to 120 FPS in an FPLC game, right?
So you said it's not a team, right? Because
it's not a team. While the players will still be doing some things together, this is not meant to be like a actual like we're going to Wii play kind of thing.
Okay,
it's more focused on the individuals and like their growth.
Okay, That just like hits half my questions, right? Like right off the bat. It's like, how does four people as a team work? So,
yeah, yes, it's more like
we're looking to add a fifth as well. Okay. Very soon. And then, as for the North American side of things, the way that the European thing, like project works, won't necessarily scale well to North America, just because, you know, we don't have a lot of teams that scout actively from FPL or anything like that. And so I'm currently working on a couple of different things that we can do that will still provide the same impact here in NA.
How long do you think it will take for the fruits of your labor, as it were, to show? Like, how long do you think it'll take before we have a guy who's come from the GGA into a top team?
So we're always aiming for, like, you know, top 20, top 30-ish, something like that, which in a lot of cases, when you have, like, hey, we need a young gun or something like that, they look at FPL at a route about that, you know, tier level. And so I think with a couple of the selections that we have, I can think of already like two players that I think are definitely going to make it within the next 6 months to a year. If we actually work with them pretty hard. They have the raw skill. They have the drive. That's something that's really underrated. They really have the drive. And, you know, I love waking up every morning to questions in my inboxes, you know, clips in my inbox asking me, hey, what could I have done better? What could I do in this situation? So I think we'll see some pretty fast turnarounds, especially in Europe. North America, again, completely different beast, completely different ecosystem. We'll see how it scales.
Don't worry, I have questions about North America later. Don't worry.
Good. I have lots of answers about North America, or if I don't have answers, I have more questions.
So what are you, how many players are you looking to have? I assume this is going to be like a class system of like you take these players under your wing for a certain amount of time, and then at one point it's kind of it, or are you going to continuously have these players under your wing until they get a contract, or is somebody going to be here for 10 years until?
So, they won't be here for 10 years. Okay. And they are on, you know, shorter, like they're it's designed to be a stepping stone project, right? Like we don't want people sticking around for a ton of time, 'cause it means that we're not doing our job or they're not doing theirs. Right. Mm-hmm. We want people to come here, learn for, you know, 3 to 6 months and be like, all right, I have the tools I need to succeed at the next level or whatever it is. Right. So I don't foresee any particularly long-term kind of players that we'll see. We're just trying to be the farm team for everyone else, if that makes sense.
Like a Copenhagen Flames.
Like a Copenhagen Flames, except hopefully people will actually take our players.
Okay. I have a question. This is out of right field. Okay. Why Gucci?
So, okay. So Gucci for the longest time has been like, they've always been about kind of like diversifying who their audience is and stuff like that, right? And so one of the best ways to get into the lower age groups is by far esports, in my opinion, right? Especially if you're looking at a kind of like a European-y market. Because, you know, like we can, like even pre-Gucci, like I swear to God, dude, everyone in esports is like dripped the fuck out. You know, they're just like vibing and they're whatever.
Trying to be down with the kids, like, oh yeah, that's what the kids are dripping vibes.
It's funny because I'm technically a kid.
I was gonna say, I'm wearing a Birds Aren't Real shirt. I'm 21. Like
I'm 21 too. I'm supposed to be a kid. I just haven't cared about this stuff for the longest amount of time, which is ironic now that I work for Gucci. But I mean, yeah, it's basically just meant to be like a way to kind of diversify their audience, if that makes sense.
Okay. That's an extremely reasonable answer.
Do you think that having Gucci as the name on it sort of legitimizes it more? Or do you think it does almost the opposite?
I think it definitely legitimizes it more.
Yeah, because you're gonna have to say it legitimizes more.
No. Like I think even if you were like, even if it was someone else, like I still think that like a large name brand like that legitimizes it more, because as much as it is fun to like, you know, poke fun at it or whatever, like it's still a big company. It has a lot of power in the world, and people, even if they make fun of it, they still respect it in some capacity, right? Especially when you look at like the professional scene, like the professional esports ecosystem, like that's a name that you respect. They've done stuff with like Fnatic and like those guys. Like, so they're not newcomers necessarily, right? So I think it's fine in that respect.
All right. I have a couple more like written down questions that we have to. So one of our social media editors is Danish.
Okay.
And he asked specifically, he wants to know about your plans of traveling to Denmark and what teams and / esports schools he's going to visit and what value you think you can bring by doing so.
Oh, okay. So the question I posted on Twitter regarding all that stuff. So as of right now, the only people that I've really worked out some sort of plan with are the guys over at Tricked. The Copenhagen Flames educational side of stuff. I've talked to, I'm going to brutally pronounce them because I don't know how to pronounce the O with a dash through it. But like the, like, Hoser after school, Old God after school, like a couple of those also smaller programs where I've talked to at least. The only confirmed things right now are Tricked and the Copenhagen Flame stuff. But I'm hoping to do a couple of the actual like more grassroots programs as well, because I want to see how the individual coaches actually work with those younger players that might not be the most experienced or something, right?
So what are you doing when you're going to Denmark?
Yes. Like, I'm going there to basically, I want to make sure that I'm studying like the relationship between the coaches and administration and the players specifically. Because unlike a traditional team environment where it's basically like a 6-man roster, almost, if you have a well-integrated coach, the dynamics in an educational system is a lot different, right? Like the coach is the leader. He is everything. Like, you have to kind of just listen to him. And while the players are allowed to be individuals, like they still, like there's still a different power dynamic than a traditional professional sports team. And so in addition to that, I also just want to see how they're structuring things. What do their practices look like? What are they focusing on as like their main like topics of interest throughout a week? Like all that kind of stuff, just so that that way, because as for the Davenport side of things, I will have players ranging from literally EPL players to main players, like ESEA main players. So there's going to be a wide variety of people that I need to be able to work with while also making sure that the quote unquote curriculum kind of stays the same amongst all three teams that we'll have. So we'll see how it goes. I'm excited to see what they kind of do. I also just have friends in Denmark, especially at Tricked. So I just want to like say hi to them all and see how they rock and roll there. But, you know, I'm excited to see what I can kind of bring back notes wise and how I can implement that in a university setting.
OK, so great transition, university setting. First of all, congratulations. I believe Davenport just won CSL, did they not? Or am I?
So our D2 team just won their second national championship this year. Our D1 team would have played, except that we have an incoming student playing for the active roster right now versus an actual like school student. So couldn't use him.
Unfortunately, all too well with those, well known with the CSL rules. It's I wanted to talk about Liège.
Yes,
because we talked about on the podcast like a month and a half ago when Liège went and demoed your guys's game, and how that was something totally out of left field and was a like, this is a cool thing for North America to help get North America better. So I wanted to hear you, who was the recipient of that, realistically, what went on there, what happened there.
Yeah, so it's been great. So it was nice to, you know, have him, you know, help us with that stuff. We still don't play Ancient, but I was still thankful. I was still very thankful to receive that that help when we got it. So one thing that the Liège thing did, though, was it really like it might have been different if it was a different advanced team, but for us, it like really legitimized the bridge between traditional esports and collegiate esports in North America. From a Counter-Strike lens, like Rocket League and like all those other games, like they're fine. But like, cause now after Liege was involved with us and like actually worked with us, we've had a lot of other really large names like step forward and like talk about working with us or even just like using us for content or something like that. I don't want to like say any names or anything cause we haven't like actually confirmed anything, but like big names, like really fucking big names. And it's cool because that all stemmed from the one initiative that Elige did with that stream. And so we do still occasionally talk with him. We are still involved with the Team Liquid stuff slightly, because we won a tournament of theirs back in the past, so we have a little bit of a connection there now. But it's been really helpful, and I think going forward, we have some stuff coming up in the next week. I have a big press release I've been working on. We should see a lot more of that bridging between the communities happen soon.
Nice. Hell yeah, do you have a question? Because I have about four more.
No, go for it.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about League of Legends for a second.
Oh, no.
And we're going to trust me, this makes sense, I swear. League of Legends has this whole thing called Proving Grounds, right? At least in North America, which is its whole amateur and collegiate series going into their academy tier, right? League of Legends also has a huge collegiate scene. You have Maryville University, you have Winthrop. There's plenty of teams that are really big in North America that compete on a collegiate stage that's funded by Riot, that's helped by Riot. Counter-Strike doesn't have the same thing, at least to the same degree.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a way that we can take collegiate Counter-Strike and bring it up to the same place or at least towards the same place in which collegiate League of Legends already sits?
Yes. So it comes down. So the reason why CLOL is so effective when it comes to the university engagement and stuff like that is because it is developer supported, right? Because there is a big name associated with running it, people are cool with it. You see the same thing in CRL, Collegiate Rocket League. Same exact thing. Developer runs it. Very efficient program. And everyone wants to be involved in Collegiate Rocket League. Now, Counter-Strike is always, just because of the nature of Counter-Strike, going to be kind of weird in comparison to the other games, right? Completely open ecosystem, completely different. But whereas we see, you know, colleges competing with orgs, academy teams and stuff like that in CLOL, it is still ultimately a fairly franchise system. I mean, it is a franchise system. So you're never really going to see League of Legends, like Maryville, for example, take on, I don't know, like the actual Immortals main roster or something like that. With the exception of like maybe show matches. And so I think that while it's good that there is that integration, and while like Proving Grounds and Academy Leagues and stuff like that are so prevalent there, it's still like the ceiling is still a little bit lower than what you can get out of Counter-Strike. Now, what we've done in Counter-Strike, or what the Counter-Strike scene has become recently because of that lack of developer support, is we have really, I was going to say really solid, but there are exceptions always, but good tournament organizers, right? Or at least solid tournament organizers. That's why I'm really always in support of like the Face It Collegiate stuff that they're trying to do with Counter-Strike there. I think that has the potential to do something big. I know a while back ESEA was potentially talking about doing something, although I think with the merger now, I think it's just going to be Face It. And CSL probably won't go anywhere bigger because they don't have the connection to the traditional esports ecosystem. But I mean, from a coaching perspective, or from a like a school's perspective, my goal is very different than that of any other school, right? Like, I don't really care. I'm trying to figure out how I want to word this. I don't necessarily care about like winning the national championships or whatever. Like, it's very nice. Like, it's a good thing. My administration loves it. But at the end of the day, like, I more or less care about making sure that we're relevant in, like, the traditional scene. So whether that's ESEA Advanced, Premier, maybe making... My goal is Pro League in 2 years. That kind of stuff.
Okay. I have one more question. I'm going to time you on this question because...
Oh, no.
It's a big question.
Oh, God.
So all I have written on my notes is SMH NACS.
God, I hate you.
I'm giving you 2 minutes.
You have 25 seconds.
Okay.
You can use a maximum of 100 words. No,
I'm giving you 2 minutes so we don't turn this into a 3-hour-long podcast.
Bet. Okay. So North American Counter-Strike. Its problems stem from a cultural, like, issue, right? A lot of Americans here, we don't necessarily build each other up because we're all competing against each other, whereas in Europe, we have all the regional scenes, right? Latvians support Latvians. Estonians support Estonians. Croatians support Croatians. You know, like, everyone supports each other within their own ecosystem, and as a result, you see a lot of the older players supporting the younger players and helping them through the process. In North America, everyone hates each other because they're all vying for the same spots. Now, what that means is you have to have a much safer development ecosystem, right? So that's why I'm doing the Davenport stuff. That's why I'm sort of happy with the EG thing, but at the same time, I hate what the teams they're doing it with. But until we can actually get that drive and that, like, culture back into NA, because all the Valorant pros left, we have to figure out alternative ways to kind of grow the scene. And that's why I'm hoping through the Gucci stuff, through Davenport stuff, that we can finally start to bridge that gap. Because, you know, teams like Party Astronauts should be losing to Mythic, and all that kind of stuff. So we'll see what changes have to be made so that that doesn't happen.
I'd just like to say, The point you made about the regional scenes where all the teams help all the players help each other out to part of the same regional scenes. May I introduce you to UK Counter-Strike, where we have the exact same problem, but even fewer players, where they all hate each other.
Yeah, we don't talk about that region.
Yeah, that's probably reasonable.
That region's scary.
Damn right it is. We're scary.
All right, Koi, do you have anything you would like to plug for the end of this?
No, not really. Just stay tuned for some cool things that we're doing at Davenport. I should have all of the announcements and player signings, wink, wink, done in about a week. So
you've got to post the contract signing GIF on Twitter.
No, I'm not doing that. We have a really cool graphic for it, though, or, like, trailer for it. It'll be sick.
All right. Well, you can find him on Twitter at @koi_csgo. We're going to head back to the regular episode with Naps. See you there. All right. Thank you very much, Koi, for joining us this week. I'm back again with Elliot and Naps. End of the episode real quick, rapid fire roster moves, stuff we want to talk about. So first thing we talk about, Fnatic is dropping basically all their lineup. They only have Crimson Mezzi left.
I think the interesting thing is where Alex goes, because he's kind of sort of sailing into nothingness, and I think the next move he makes has to be a good one, otherwise he's just going to peter out into nothing.
He could go to Mouse Sports.
He actually could go to Mouse Sports. I wouldn't hate that.
Definitely a choice he can make. Nico was benched from OG's starting roster today, starting OG's roster mania moves. We expect OG to have a couple of moves.
Yekindar and JKS are the two that have been linked with them.
JKS has definitely been linked with them. Yekindar's been linked with about 17 teams, so I'm not saying Yekindar's been linked with any team yet until I have.
The bidding war is going to start now, right?
Yeah.
For Yekindar.
Snax is stepping in for Sphinx at IEM Dallas. He can't find a visa, so we get to see Snax again, which is always fun. So speaking of Yekindar, Virtus Pro officially, well, not Virtus Pro, but Outsiders has officially announced benched Yekindar and Buster. I believe Buster just wants to take a break from Counter-Strike in general, and Yekindar is going to be looking for another team.
Yeah, he has a bunch. So the four most prominent ones that have been linked are G2, as you mentioned, OG, as we just mentioned, Team Liquid, who will throw the bag at him.
Woo!
I believe Na'Vi.
Yeah. The Na'Vi one's weird, and it's only going to happen in other cases. There's like three things that have to happen for the Na'Vi one to happen, I think.
I think there's one thing that needs to happen, okay, and it's Electronic leaves.
That I categorize that as three things, but yeah, it's one thing.
You categorize Electronic leaving as three things.
That's how big it is.
Yeah, it's huge.
Fair enough. Can't argue with that.
Shox is apparently leaving Liquid from rumors. Apparently he doesn't want to live in America, which, you know what?
I think he just doesn't want to travel as much, which makes sense at his age.
Like, yeah, so what I heard was like they were boot camping in EU, and then he ran back to NA to go play in a qualifier, and then all the NA players stayed in NA, and he went back to EU to take his break, and then he had to run back to NA, and then he had to come back to EU for the major. Basically, he was running around every 5 seconds, and that's rough for everyone. So
I'd just like to take issue with Knapp saying that at his age he wouldn't like to be traveling. He's 29 years old.
Yeah, but no, it's not like the age per se, but it's more that he's starting to settle down with his family, you know. I think that's maybe one of the main reasons he doesn't want to travel as much anymore, because he wants to have the opportunity to visit his family easily in between tournaments.
And he said a lot of words, but all I heard was he couldn't fit a Zimmer frame on the aeroplane.
All right. Do we have any other roster moves quickly before we get going?
I'm not sure. Is there anything else?
There was MIBR made some changes.
MIBR brought up Brazen for Woody.
Yeah.
Yeah, Woody is one of those players who probably could have been a good AWPer, but because he's Brazilian, he felt like he had to in-game lead. It's always the way. Like, every Brazilian AWPer just also in-game leads because of Fallen. Everyone just wants to be Fallen. It's amazing. Oh,
and Jimfat finally signed for Mouse NXT.
Yes.
Like, two months after having played his first official game for the team.
And also, Yampi might be coming back, right?
Okay, so hello, Valorant expert here. From what I've heard, is Yampi has said he would like to come back at one point, and then there was other news about he might come back in October, but those two pieces have not been linked together.
Okay, well, I heard like years ago, like near the start of Valorant, that he regretted his decision and wanted to come back.
So I heard he regretted it. I think so. In a Valorant way, I think there might also be things happening with Team Liquid in Valorant. They Sliggy, who was a former Counter-Strike observer, then was the Fish 123 coach in Valorant, and then the Team Liquid coach, he is not coaching anymore. So I think that team might be just under changes to begin with. And that team's a really weird team because it has a lot of former Counter-Strike players on it. That's the team with Scream and Nevera on it, as well as Link and
Soulcast?
Someone else. Soulcast. Yeah, sorry. I'm a Valorant writer, you can tell. Link and Soulcast on it. So there's a lot of actually like people that like Nevera, if he does not find his time on that team nice, he may come back as well. I'm not saying that he will. I hope he does. But
I guess the only other move or potential move we can talk about is Copenhagen Flames.
Yeah.
Who, as they have been for ages, are all transfer listed, but now can look for moves separately.
Independently. It's not just a full team.
Supposedly Yabby has signed a new contract with Copenhagen Flames, but I don't know how true that is. They said it, but I've heard some guys say, oh no, that's bullshit. I don't know if that's true.
Doesn't feel like something that would happen. Like, these guys are trying to look for like an upgrade, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody was sort of saying, oh yeah, what about like Nico Doss to like Team Liquid? No, not to Team Liquid, to EG, I think, or something like that. Or one of the, like, some of the American teams, they should look to sign some of these players because they need good players. Copenhagen Flames have good players. Seems like a fair deal.
I think I heard something about Nikodos going to Astralis.
Or like, yeah, that's been rumored for a while, but yeah. I don't know. Like, they've only just signed Farley. It would be a bit mean.
Yeah, yeah, but on the other side, like, they're playing kind of shit, bro. We're expecting better from Astralis, you know, especially if you're given like allegedly the best IGL in the world.
Because yeah, people still like to say that.
And I'm allegedly, sure like,
he's going to be the one to go.
The best clutcher in the world.
Yeah, I think it's more likely Zipnik's leaves, especially with Valde available. But
yeah.
All right. On that, we got to end for the week. Thank you so much for watching. Follow us on Twitter at LogonHub, at AZSK, and at NapsCS, and at ReadDLDR. There's a lot of Twitters this time. See you again next week. We'll talk about IAM Dallas and start of player break.
Yep.
Yes.